You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to Thursday's racing podcast. Look ahead to all the action coming up in the afternoon from Newbury, Nottingham and Fontwell, and in the evening across the Irish Sea. A great meeting actually at Leopardstown, and then at Uttoxeter and Haydock in Britain as well. You can join Mark Walton, Andrew Mount and Dale Gibson for all the action on Racing Radio. But for now, my name's John Gibby, joined by Chris Pimlott to look ahead to the day, and also to look ahead to Ascot, Dennis. We're a week away from the big meeting now.
Yeah, I'm getting John giddy up about this Ascot thing.
Are you?
Very, very much giddy up. Yes, indeedy. Again, we're a week away. The weather looks set fair. Looks like the clerk of the course, Chris Stickles, is saying that they're going to aim to start the meeting on a mixture of good and good to firm ground, which should be absolutely perfect for these top-class flat horses. And again, you need a fair week at Ascot for the pomp, the pageantry, and more importantly, the picnics in the car park. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You need good weather. And luckily, the good Lord looks like he's going to deliver.
Because I was thinking in the build-up to Ascot, okay, we've got a lot of hype, a lot of analysis about the big races, but comparing jumps and flat racing is, you know, sometimes something you want to avoid. But think about this compared to the build-up to Cheltenham. And it feels a bit lackluster to me. I don't know.
I think you're maybe having a little bit of a bias there, fella. I know many, many people up and down the country will be planning their outfits, planning what rose to put on their lapel, planning what champagne they're going to take to the picnic. Don't you get it wrong, young fella. There'll be plenty of hype going into that Ascot week.
Well, it's interesting you say a bias, but I actually consider myself to be more of a flat man. So maybe it's just pessimism.
Maybe pessimism, that's it. Or maybe you just haven't got yourself into that Ascot mode just yet.
Maybe not just yet. Yeah. So certainly will be this time next week. Interesting seeing the Racing Post today. Lots going on about the Commonwealth Cup. Looks like it could be one of the most exciting races of the week.
Well, I mean, basically, the great thing is that the Commonwealth Cup is a success story as far in the Royal Meeting. Again, we had Mahar winning it back in 2015. 16 was won by Lemato. And this year, obviously, we've got the likes of Caravaggio, we've got Harry's Angel, and we've got Blue Point all looking like they're going to take their place. So it's going to be a fantastic Commonwealth Cup. And well done to the powers that be to have introduced such a wonderful race.
I think the Marto was second in 2015, wasn't it? And Quiet Reflection went on to win it last year.
That's right, yeah, sorry.
The Marto might have struggled to qualify as a four-year-old last
correct,
year.
Correct, yeah. You got it right, young fella.
Yeah.
Well done. You're right, this is your specialist subject, racing. Well done you, yes. 2015, it was Muhar beating Lamato, and Profitable was back in fifth on that occasion. Last year, it was Quiet Reflection with Dougie Costello doing the steering on that occasion. No longer is Dougie the pilot for her.
No, well, looking like the filly, not great vibes coming about her as well. I mean, we're veering off Ascot a little bit here, but
The vibes are a little bit negative about her at the moment, aren't they? So we shall watch this space regarding her. But I think Caravaggio is the one they've all got to beat. He looks like a speed machine, doesn't he?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. I think in all these races so far, he's looked absolutely deadly. I thought he made a very pleasing return in that Group 3 in Ireland a couple of weeks ago. And looks just a couple of seconds, a couple of furlongs out, I thought maybe he looked like he was going to lap the turn of foot, and then suddenly he found it and he was
off. Oh, yeah, he's speed to burn. He's obviously high class. Aidan O'Brien said he's one of the fastest horses they've had about. And that's a fair recommendation for any horse, that's for sure. So Caravaggio looking very sweet for the Commonwealth Cup.
Were you impressed with Harry Angel the other day at Haydock?
Well, again, the clock said you had to be impressed with him, didn't he? Mm. I mean, he broke the track record there in the Sandy Lane. He's very, very high-profile horse. And again, you know, he comes to make the race that little bit more exciting, doesn't he? You know, he's definitely a player. And I think, again, more than likely that the boys in blue have bought him to strengthen their hand in this sprint group.
And then what about Blue Point? If the boys in blue have bought Harry Angel to strengthen their squad, what does that say about his chances?
Well, that's a bit negative for me, really. Mm. I think they might think, well, is he quite up to it, to be fair? So we'll watch this space with him. But yeah, I think he's got to find a little bit if he's going to bring himself to the top table next week.
But Caravaggio for you overall in the race?
Oh, very much so. Very much so.
Well, we look forward to that. The Commonwealth Cup, the newest addition, of course, to the Royal Meeting taking place next week. And we go from the newest addition now to one of the oldest, the Ascot Gold Cup, a very prestigious race, of course, for stayers. And a little bit of a shake-up in the market for this one yesterday when we found that Rezirabad wouldn't be making the race, instead going to be aimed at the Goodwood Cup. And that even strengthened Order of St. George's position in the market even further, now into 4-5 favouritism for the race. Do you think he's a good thing?
I think he's a good thing. Even before Rezirabad was declared a non-runner, I thought he was the horse that they all had to beat. But as the market is here with us at William Hill, you've 4-5 Order of St. George, and then it's 10-1 and bigger the rest. Mm. So if there's a plenty of little bit of each way value lurking out there, and I thought Simple Verse could be interesting at a double figure price. And I also thought that Endless Time, currently 20-1 with us here at William Hill, Jimmy. I thought Endless Time, something that we've got on this podcast today, haven't we? Could well be interesting at 20-1.
You've got as long as you want. But
listen, I've listened to some of my podcasts. They'll be asleep out there in listener land if we go on too long, buddy.
In terms of the Ascot Gold Cup, I was saying yesterday about this. I cannot understand why Shakeside Road is as big as 10-1. This horse beat Order of St. George and Simple Verse home in the long distance cup at Ascot, the same course,
yep,
back in October on Champions Day. Won the Doncaster Cup in impressive style a month or two prior to that. Ran a perfectly solid race in the Dubai Gold Cup, only beaten, I think, a length and a half when a little bit unlucky up the running in the home straight. I can't understand why it's 10-1. I can only assume it's because it doesn't come from as sexy a stable as some of the other options.
And that could well be it. And again, to be fair, young fella, if you're thinking along them lines, and that's good, that you're going to get yourself a little bit of value at 10-1.
Yeah, well, Shakeside Road is in there at 10-1, second favourites, alongside Big Orange and Simple Verse, Order of St. George, the 4-5 favourite. Looks like it could be a little bit more difficult for him than last year for me, but he's got to have a fantastic chance.
The market tells its own story regarding Order of St. George, doesn't it?
Well, that's the Ascot Gold Cup coming up next week as part of the Royal Meeting. Of course, full coverage here with William Hill of that and all the rest of the week's racing. But we shift our attention now from next week to tomorrow. And we've got actually a very busy day of racing for a Thursday. I should say today is Thursday's racing podcast. So today's action.
Yeah.
Very busy day today. And including some great meetings. We'll get onto Leopardstown in a little bit. But we start off with a listed contest at Newbury. The Lord Weinstock Memorial EBF Stallion Stakes.
It is indeed.
As it is written in front of me, over 1 mile, 2 furlongs for fillies, 3-year-old fillies. And interesting here, that, so we've got Talieb, of course, from the 1,000 guineas, where fourth, I think she was in the race, is now coming to try and get a little bit more black type, or a first bit black type, up against her name, having been beaten 3.5 lengths by Winter in that fillies classic. Do you think she's the one they all have? Well, maybe a slightly obvious question. Do you think she's the one they all have to beat?
Oh, most certainly. She's the filly that they've all got to beat. They're looking for a little bit of listed form for her. She certainly holds sway as far as official ratings are concerned. She's got a mark of 109, having had that good run in the guineas when finishing fourth. And again, I think she'll be very difficult to oppose tomorrow afternoon. 39 days since we saw her in the guineas. And again, stepping up in trip tomorrow afternoon should well suit her as well, up to a mile and two. Very much the one they've got to beat, and I'd be surprised if she does get beaten tomorrow. Possibly the one that'll chase her home is the Sir Michael Stout trained runner Ebbisbourne. She won her juvenile start on the all-weather over 7 furlongs last year, then slightly disappointed when we saw her on debut this season. But then she ran really well when winning a fillies handicap at York over tomorrow's trip of a mile and two. And again, could be a little bit more to come from her, from a stable that only gets its fillies to progress gently and with time.
Fantastic. Right, we move on to the second race we're looking at here on Thursday's Racing Podcast, and that's the 3:20 at Nottingham. It's a 6 furlong handicap for 4-year-olds and above. We have had 10 declared to go to post in this one. I think it's looking like quite an open affair for him.
Oh, very much an open race. Good prize on offer, though, to be fair. £9,338 to the winner. A very, very competitive little race. And again, one or two certainly that you can make a case for. I don't know about you, Jimmy, if you have certain systems that are possibly unique to you and nobody else when it comes to finding winners.
Maybe in terms of finding losers, I have unique systems to me. But
see, there's a horse in here that I think could well be part of my system because I'm very much into TV programmes.
Okay.
And I don't particularly watch this programme, but I'm almost certain you will watch it.
Go on.
Love Island.
Oh, wow, yes.
You know what I mean? I bet you're a fan of that, aren't you?
Is this just because I'm of a certain age?
I don't know whether it's a certain age or a certain gender or whatever. But it just jumped off the page at me when she started interviewing me for this race. I thought, here we go. That's the one I've got to go for. It's a new system. We're taking it from a very small sample, obviously.
I see.
But it's interesting. The big thing is, to be fair, Richard Whittaker's been in great form of late. Horses are running really well. And to be fair, Love Island was successful the last time we saw him. And so hopefully, again, he can... I should say, hopefully this will be her chance to shine. And again, it's her last chance because she's in foal.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So, it's a big triangle. Mm. It's a Love Island, isn't it? It's just added more to this new system of mine. The name and she's having a foal.
Brilliant.
Great system. Great system.
We'll see how it works out for you.
Yeah, I think we will. If you're looking for a little bit of value, Johnny Cavanin for me. Usually has good form at Donny. Was a little bit unlucky at Ripon last time out. Ronnie Thompson, one of our elder statesmen of the training ranks, hasn't had a winner for quite some time. But I think Johnny Cavanin could run well tomorrow night for him. But for me, it's got to be Love Island.
Well, Love Island for Pimmers in that one might not represent value once this one gets priced up by the traders necessarily, but I thought George Bohm was interesting, dropped in class, really, having one of those fiery horses always runs solid races in like quite good sprint handicaps.
Yeah.
And down in a slightly more manageable class of race for me now. Got to have a big chance, I think.
Most certainly.
Well, we move now across the Irish Sea to the 720 at Leopardstown, the Ballycorra Stakes, a Group 3 contest for over 7 furlongs for horses aged 3 and above. And, well, it's great to see Gordon Lord Byron back, isn't it, after that slightly surprising Group 2 victory, I think it was, last time out, where he showed that he still has the ability.
Most certainly. I mean, he's a favourite of everybody's, isn't he? He's a C&D winner. He's the ripe old age of 9 now. He was only 6 furlongs at the Curragh when he won there last time out, and admittedly he was a 20-1 shot. I think he's looking for his 18th win tomorrow evening at Leopardstown. So, you know, tells you all about Gordon Lord Byron. He's tough, consistent. You'd love to own him, wouldn't you? And he's taken them to lots of fantastic places. So he'll be a very popular winner if he's able. I think the two interesting ones here, though, Jimmy, are Don't Touch and Firmament, both trained in North Yorkshire. Richard Fahy trains Don't Touch. Firmament trains by David O'Meara. And again, Don't Touch, we haven't seen him for 243 days. That wouldn't bother me with a Fahy horse. One thing he can do is ready them for the debut runs. On official ratings, he's the one they've all got to beat. And again, he's only ran over 6 furlongs. Couldn't quite cut the mustard at the top level over 6. But stepping up to 7 tomorrow evening just might well be the answer to him. Firmament ran well in defeat behind Golden Stunner at York last time out. And the one right down the bottom, the only 3-year-old contesting this Group 3 race, is Psychedelic Funk, who again was 3rd behind none other than Caravaggio in that race at Nace last time out. Wouldn't that be some boost for the Caravaggio form if Psychedelic Funk could get the job done? But I think, again, more than likely, stepping up to 7 furlongs could help. And again, he's on official ratings a little bit defined, off a mark of 104. So I hope that the Group 3 comes back over the Irish Sea to Malton in the shape of Don't Touch.
Yeah, Don't Touch, stepping up 7 furlongs. I often find that really can be the making or breaking of a horse who maybe hasn't quite the mustard over proper sprint distances, because it tends to be such a specialist trip. Sometimes when they step up, they do really fly over.
Yeah, that's right. And I think more than likely they thought, well, this might be the time to try it. It's a good prize and, you know, it's a good starting point for his season.
Fantastic. Well, Don't Touch there for Pimmins in the 7:20 at Leopardstown. That Group 3 Ballycorus Stakes. Will it come back to North Yorkshire? We will find out. And very shortly afterwards, at 7:40, we'll find out who's won the contest at Haydock. The handicap that's going to be run over a mile for horses aged 4 and above. There have been 12 declared for this one. And again, just as with that the other handicap we were talking about earlier at Nottingham, this also looks to be very open.
Oh, yeah, massively open. Plenty of horses in here with a chance. But I did the podcast last week for William Hill Racing Radio, and I tipped up Roller on that occasion, and Mick Easterby, stablemate. And again, I thought he ran really well at Ripon last time out. It was good to soft. Again, just beaten ahead on that occasion. He's sure to be a player tomorrow night. And again, Nathan Evans takes a valuable £3 off his back. So hopefully, compensation awaits Roller.
Be interesting to see how some of these horses do with their respective handicap ratings. Of course, we've got Intrude carrying a penalty after a victory last time. I wonder if Mythical Madness sets the standard of form after a second in the Epsom Mile last time out.
Certainly, he sets the form. Again, David O'Meara, runner, filmmaking, gets the leg up tomorrow evening. And again, certainly... Again, that was a good race. He's possibly stepping down a little bit in grade tomorrow evening. And again, sure to be a player. But it's a little while since we've seen him in that winner's enclosure.
Fantastic. Well, we'll find out what happens in that one then. The 7:40 at Haydock and all of tomorrow's racing. You can catch it here on William Hill's Racing Radio with Mark Walton, Andrew Mount and Dale Gibson. But thanks very much for listening to Thursday's Racing Podcast. Thanks to you, Pimmers, for your thoughts as well.
My pleasure, Jimmy. And what is this, your debut on the William Hill podcast?
I've done it a few times with Rory, but it's the first time I've done it with you.
Ah, with Rory. Mm. Well, he knows about racing, you see. That's the thing. They've maybe just tried to test you out with somebody who doesn't know very much. And you've done well, young fella.
Well, thank you very much.
You've done very well.
I appreciate
Jimmy Giddyup. He's the name at William Hill now.
Well, I appreciate that, and I appreciate all of you for listening as well. Join us next time here on William Hill's Racing Podcast.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.